Is Canada a fair country? I'm Marco Perry. Welcome to the Perry Platform. The Ottawa Citizen published a piece titled "Data on Education and Wages Don't Show Systemic Racism in Canada." And that's the question I want to tackle today. Is Canada a generally fair place? Do we hold things like merit above things like your skin pigmentation? Or is Canada a systemically racist country? And what people mean by that generally is that white people are favored above all else. And then being excessively favored or privileged comes with cost to different groups. The article begins by saying new research from the Aristotle Foundation shows limited evidence of broad systemic racism in Canadian society, despite what anti-racism activists and the mandate letters from PM Justin Trudeau to his cabinet might insist. Many people went along with this notion that Canada is oppressive because it became an unchallenged politically correct belief, because it became convenient to parrot that same line. Not because people actually thought about it and arrived at these conclusions by reviewing data and making a strong case for it. The data that I'm seeing here paints a very different picture from things that Justin Trudeau seems to proclaim. To avoid any confusion, I think it's fine to mention upfront that this is not a case for saying there is no racism or discrimination in Canada. We're talking about systemic discrimination and barriers here and how the population is dealing with that or not dealing with it if they don't exist to the degree that we're picturing. Very clearly to me, it seems like factors such as individual choices and poverty, your actual class status, matter a lot more. That's why proxy measures such as employment and education do a lot to tell you about how different groups are doing in our country. The paper points to weekly earnings of Canadian-born men and women as the first data point. Even when controlling for various factors like education and occupation to produce more direct comparisons, the data, which comes from Stats Canada, shows five minority groups that earn less than white Canadians, which are Black, Latin American, Filipino, and other, and five that out-earn white Canadians, South Asian men, Chinese women, South Asian women, Filipino women, and Southeast Asian women. And before I move on, there's one thing I want to note that the article doesn't. Typically, with group data like this, there is more difference within a group than difference between groups. Let that sink in for a second. I'll give you one example. I'm not sure we have this data for Canada, but in America. Look within the category Black, for example. Within that, you have a group such as Nigerians. They actually earn more than the average American. There is such wide discrepancy within a group, which makes you really wonder about the impacts of the racial category, if the different components of that category can differ so widely, despite a sharing of the same broad racial category. You can see that across many categories, including white people. There are some groups that do better than others, and that's true also for Asian countries. Some groups do better than others. What that tells you is that it's more important to look at the individual, because the difference between groups is less than that within groups. The individual is the metric for comparison there. Your group does not define you. And that's a wonderful thing. It should be something that's celebrated. I see many people who are reluctant to acknowledge that and recognize the progress that we've made. There's no denying that in the past, systemic barriers did exist in places like Canada, but the question is, where are we now? Now back to the article, a senior fellow from the Institute, Matthew Lau, comments that, quote-unquote, if you take various minority groups, some of them earn more than white people, and some earn less. And that's roughly what you would expect to see if Canada was a society that did not favor the white population. And that's true. If all of our institutions, and the way our institutions are set up, were predicated on this notion that they must discriminate against minorities, you would expect to see white people with the highest weekly average earnings, or close to that. But it seems like they're a bit in the middle. There are many groups who do better than them. This is a fact that many people are reluctant to admit. Now, moving on, about 33% of Canadians hold a bachelor's degree or higher. But those figures vary considerably among different racialized groups. For example, about 61% of Korean Canadians have some level of higher education. And 49% of Canadians with an Arab background also do, and 46% of Filipinos do, for example, far above the average. Now there's a correlation there. Many of those groups with the higher education levels are doing a lot better when it comes to income earning. Now part of this is due to the fact that Canada heavily selects in favor of highly educated immigrants. Education is key, and it will open doors for you regardless of your nationality. That seems to be the trend that data is revealing here. The paper then goes on to argue that many visible minorities are actually overrepresented in certain professional occupations, such as engineering and doctors, relative to their share of the population. So for example, South Asians. They comprise about 7% of the workforce, but they represent 13% of doctors, almost double. There are about 12% of engineers and 19% of computing professionals. These are high-paying careers, and they've achieved these numbers through things like decision-making. Once again, this is a very empowering message. You can come to Canada and you can work hard and you can get educated and you can find yourself in a powerful career. That's exactly what we want, and this wasn't possible in the past because things were inherently discriminatory. But still, like I said, people are reluctant to acknowledge the progress that we've made. The research then looks at another aspect of policy that's been accused of systemic discrimination and racism, and that is standardized mathematics testing. But as it turns out, many racialized groups do better on math testing than white students do. The study then also has a section that looks at Indigenous Canadians. Now, while on average they earn about $3,600 less than non-Indigenous Canadians, the figures differ between the group. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of difference within groups. So for example, First Nations and Métis. First Nation people, on average, earn 11% less than non-Indigenous Canadians. And that itself is a bit troubling, but Métis earn about 3% less than the average Canadian. There are differences there. And the racial category can't explain that because they share the same category. So how can that discrepancy arise? Well, there are many reasons for that. Individuals make choices, and different cultures have different things that they value and they instill in their children, for example. In this case, the study suggests that this could be attributable, the differences, due to geographic realities as opposed to systemic discrimination. And once again, it's not to say that systemic discrimination didn't exist in the past, especially as it relates to Indigenous Canadians. Obviously, that's true. But the question is today, what factors are we looking at? And understanding that is going to allow people to move ahead in life. Lau goes on to say that if the Indigenous population is more likely to live in rural areas, it could be the case that across the board, rural regions on average have lower incomes than the rest of Canada, especially when you have things like big cities that are raising things like income levels. Lau then closes by saying, there's many other things like incarceration rates that you can look at, but it's very difficult to see from the evidence that we have a case of discrimination or systemic discrimination. He then goes on to say, I mean, there's always discrimination in society, but the idea that our institutions are rigged or set up in such a way to disfavor minorities, I think the evidence is not there. And once again, if that's true, that is an amazing thing, a powerful message. And there is relevant data that supports his argument. But what I see is many people who are, first of all, not willing to accept the data. They're not willing to accept the narrative that we've come a long way, and perhaps we're actually at a point where systemic discrimination is not the major deterrent to your success. As I've said, it's not to say that racism and discrimination don't exist. They obviously do, and you're going to find that throughout every society in some capacity. The question is the capacity and the severity. And what real-world impacts is it having? Is it holding you back? Is it stopping you from pursuing something like higher education, or getting a great career, and living a positive life? Or is your racial category depriving you of certain things? As I've said, that was the case before. But today, is it so? Grapple with some of the data and a couple of the key findings here. Think about, for example, how there can be so much variance within a group, but when you look across groups, the variance typically isn't as great as that within it. What does that tell you? Think about factors such as poverty and class, and imagine how something like that might be a lot more impactful in terms of what you can do than something like the pigmentation of your skin. And think about how that should impact our policy and decision-making at the governmental level. The purpose of today's talk was to get you to think critically about the things that you've been told and to compare it with some of the data that exists out there, as provided by Stats Canada. See if this gets you to rethink a couple things, or if not, let me know where we differ, and I'd be happy to have that conversation. So, that does bring us to the end of our discussion for today. If you enjoyed the content, be sure to leave a review and share to help us grow. And you can find me online at perryplatform.org and on social media at perryplatform. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you soon.